is about. Okay, Sichas Haran Os Nun. Rabbi Nachman begins to analyze an incident that took place in Breslov. Okay, by a show of hands, who here has been to Breslov? Not Uman, Breslov. Okay? I was there also one time. Sichaso HaKadosh al Rabbeinu Zichrono L'Racha Be'ez She'era Maisa B'Kehilas Kadosh Breslov. Rabbi Nachman commented on a very tragic occurrence that took place in Breslov. Shenizoka yalda achas babayis shechafrubo va'asubo binyanim chadashim. That there was a woman who was terribly injured in the, I guess, collapsed ruins of a building that was being dug. They were building new buildings. Now, building, certainly in Breslov at that time, was very daunting. And building in general is a very dangerous, a potentially very dangerous activity. A necessary activity, as we'll see, but also a potentially very dangerous activity. Gam kama nefashos hayu b'sakana gedola. And apparently, when they were trying to put up some new houses in Breslov, people kept getting injured. Some young woman got terribly injured, and there were other people who had some close calls. So Rabbi Nachman wanted to speak about building, about how building works. And again, by Rabbi Nachman, as it should be by every Jew, when something's happening in the world, you have to ask yourself, what is the Torah? What does the Torah say about this? What is the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conveying with this? I'm not trying to be a prophet, but to try to understand, to the best of our ability, what's going on. So Rabbi Nachman at that time gave the following insight into building. Iyanti v'histakalti b'inyan zeh. Ve'reisi shekol ha'oskin bebinyanim uvechomos ein echad mehem yotzei naki v'afilu akum. This is not a Jewish problem. This is a universal problem, he says. It's true for Jews and non-Jews alike. That anyone who's osek, anyone who's involved in construction work, anyone who's involved in building, whether it's buildings or walls, such a person is going to not escape unscathed. Eino yotzei naki. Not going to get away without something going wrong. And yet, nonetheless, Rabbi Nachman noted, nonetheless, ha'olam oiskim b'zeh. People are very busy with it. People are always building. Kihu kiyum ha'olam. And he's not mocking. He's saying it's a necessity of life itself to be able to build homes. I don't know. On the way to drive my kids to school this morning, I saw many houses being built. I saw apartment buildings being built. I saw a shopping center being built. It's the way of human beings, civilized human beings, to try to build homes and to build structures. Ki e after lios beloze, it's impossible to live without it. So therefore, it's of necessity that we have a cheshek for it. People are attracted to it. We're attracted to it not just because we're yentas, but even when we see, you know, when we pass a construction site, we see something being built, right? In addition to the curiosity of, ooh, what's it going to look like? Or, oh, look at that person putting an addition on their house, for those who are able to afford such a thing. Right? But there's just a curiosity of watching building, to see how things are built. People are attracted to that. And Rabbi Nachman says it has to be that way, but we have to understand building in a healthy way requires tremendous thought, and it's a dangerous thing. Building is dangerous. We'll see what that means spiritually. There's a lot of different things that go right and go wrong. There's different types of projects and different challenges that they face. But the bottom line is that anyone who's involved in building, there's going to be an impact. There's going to be some noticeable impact on the person's life. Perhaps this is what the Gemara means when it says, Kola osek bebinyan mismaskein. Anyone who's involved with building mismaskein. Now, what is that word mismaskein? Looks like the word sakana. It also means becomes impoverished. It's so true on just a very simple level. Whenever a person, you know, gets a quote of how much it's going to cost to do a particular building project, invariably there's going to be hidden costs that you didn't realize from the start. that they started digging for the foundation, and they realized there's some old, gas line or something that needs to be rerouted or removed, or this, or asbestos, or the tiles, the cost of the metal went up, or the cost of the tiles went up because it was out of stock. There's always hidden costs. So anyone who's involved in building becomes impoverished. Mismaskein hu lashon anius, vegam hu lashon sakana. Like I said, it's both, Rabbi Nachman explains, it's both a lashon of losing one's wealth, as well as putting oneself in danger. And again, the example, the context of this piece was the physical danger that people in Breslov were facing as they were building homes there. Uva medrash mevuar b'perash al pasuk. The medrash tells us, Paro had the Jews in Mitzrayim. You remember this. When the Jews were building Ari Misk Leparo, Vayiven Ari Miskenos Leparo, they were building storage cities for Paro. Chad Amar Shemamaskenos Es Balayan, Vechad Amar Shemesachnos Es Balayan. One opinion is that they impoverish those who are involved with it, and one opinion is that they endanger those who are involved with it. So Chavar Sof Kol Sof, building is a dangerous thing. Now, Rabbi Nachman tells us in the next line, and I'm not sure how it got unhighlighted because it was supposed to be highlighted, but these words in many ways are the sort of the essence of the piece. Va'iker hu hanachas hayisod. The main thing, the main challenge in building, is laying the foundation. That's the hardest part. Laying the foundation and doing it properly. And he's talking again. We're talking in Torah. We're talking a mashal here. We're talking in spiritual building as well. But at this point, he's not talking about spiritual building. He's talking about physically building a building. Anyone here ever do some construction work? Anyone ever have like a summer job doing a little construction work? Yeah? Okay, a couple people. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. There's tremendous precision that goes into it. And laying the foundation properly, or failure to do so, God forbid, could have life or death consequences. So Rabbi Nachman says the main thing is laying the yesod, which apparently they call zaklachina. Okay, what we call the foundation. V'tzarech leida be'ezas man lahaniach hayesod. You need to know exactly when is the right time. Is the ground too moist? Is the ground too soft? Right. When to put down the yesod? How to put down the yesod? What to build the yesod out of? U'me'eza eitz lahaniach. What type of wood should be used for the structure of the building? What type of wood should be used for the foundation? Right? Is it the same type of wood? Is it a different type of wood? Kiyesh eitzim she'einam ru'uyim li'os yesod. There are certain trees, there are certain types of wood that are not fit for yesod, that over time they'll crumble. Ach i'efshar leida kol zos, but it's very hard, it's very difficult for a person to know all of this, and yet we're forced to build. V'gam ma she'ein gedelim peros v'medinos eilu, hu'gam machmazeh. Rabbi Nachman says something fascinating. We'll see the Medrash and many sources develop this idea that the fact that certain trees grow in certain locations or in certain environments, certain fruits are known for certain parts of the world, it doesn't have to be that way. From our limited knowledge, we assume there are certain things that I can't grow here. Anyone here grow their esrog this year for Sukkot in their own backyard? I imagine not. Could you do it? So you'd say it's very difficult. This is not a climate for growing esrogim. But a lot of that is our failure to understand the precision with which the world is set up and having a lack of access to it. If we understood the way that Shlomo HaMelech, as we'll see in a moment, understood the foundation of the world and was able to attach himself to the foundation of the world, you could actually do anything anywhere. There are no limitations in that regard. The limitation is only in our knowledge and our ability to understand how and when and what. So the same way the building will sometimes collapse simply because you didn't know what type of wood to use, God forbid. You didn't know when to lay the yesod. You didn't know how to lay the yesod. The same thing is true when it comes to producing vegetation and fruits. If you understood the inner workings of reality, you could do anything anywhere. But if you don't, you have to understand how dangerous the stakes are. Ki evin shesia shemimena hushtasa olam, because there's a foundation stone from which the world was founded. However, we know in the Kodesh Kadashim, in the Holy of Holies, there's a foundation stone from which the whole world emerged. And the way that we have to view it as if the whole world is still attached, it's still connected. So you could be sitting in Florida, you could be sitting in Teaneck, you could be sitting in South America, you could be sitting in Los Angeles right now, and we have people in all of those locations. You could be in different parts of the world, you could be in Eretz Yisrael right now, and we're all connected. If we knew how to find the wiring, so to speak, to attach us back to the Eben Chesia. Mishom yotzin gidin l'chol ha'artzos. From there emerges veins. Right? A gid is a vein. But it means those points of connection to all of the world. Ushlomo ha'melech alav ha'shalom shayachacham gadol v'yada kol ha'gidin b'pratio. Shlomo ha'melech, who understood how to tap into the precise lines of that emerge from the Kodesh Kadoshim, that emerge from the Eben Chesia to the whole world. It says about Shlomo ha'melech, and we just read about it in Koheles, when he described, I planted every type of tree. How did you plant every type of tree? Not everything grows in where you're living. Ah, but it does, if you know how to tap into it. Hayinoteya eitz kol pri, as Chazal explained. It's a Rashi in Koheles. It's based on a Medrash in Koheles. V'gam b'medinos halalo. Rabbi Nachman says it doesn't matter if you're in New York or if you're in Breslov. Or if you're in Uman. It doesn't matter where you are. V'gam b'medinos halalo im hayu yodin hilo chagidim b'pratius. If we understood very well how the world actually works, you could grow fruits or vegetables that are not typically grown in the particular region of the world. Even though, so you say, well, why are certain things able to grow easily? Because apparently the main veins running from the Kodesh Kadosh and running from the Eben Chesia apparently run through, I don't know, Florida. So Florida oranges, it's easy to grow oranges in Florida. Maybe not so in other parts of the world. Right? It's easy to grow, I don't know, wheat in Russia. It's easy to grow different things. It's easy to grow esrogim in Eretz Yisrael and in Morocco. There's different things that can be grown in different parts of the world more easily. But again, if we were able to pinpoint the precise location of these gidin, of these veins, again, as it were, emerging from the Eben Chesia, so then we can create anything anywhere. That's an amazing idea. Gam yesh metzias shem hayu poischim be'er be'ezat tzad hayecholun litar b'richo k'makom misham osan aperos. Again, if you're not open, if you're not unlocked, so to speak, the secrets of the world, you could build anything, or you could create or reproduce anything anywhere. However, says Rabbi Nachman, gam tzrichin leida ha'alios ve'yiriyados shel Eben Chesia. We have to understand, I don't even know what this means, but the ascent and the descent of the Eben Chesia, v'leid lefi azmanes bechinas Eben Chesia, to know how is the foundation stone functioning at a particular time. I imagine it's different when there's a Beis HaMikdash on top of it and when there's a mosque on top of it. Be'ez bechino madregu Eben Chesia bos azman, how is it functioning? How is it interacting with the world at that particular time? And how to tap into that? And again, it's the same question. When to lay the foundation? How to lay the foundation? What to interpret as emerging from that foundation. Well, if he osa bechina shall Eben Chesia, and in accordance with the bechina, the aspect, the presentation of the Eben Chesia at that particular time, then we could know how to interact with it. Says Rabbi Nachman, but you need to realize, ach kol ze ne'alam v'nistar min ha'olam, ki yesh devarim sha'asr legalosan. But the average person doesn't know how to grow an esrog in Brooklyn, because it would be improper for us to have too much access to this information. Rabbi Nachman is very cryptic. We'll have to understand what this means. It's ne'elam v'nistar min ha'olam, because it's usher to reveal it. Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of men, was able to figure it out. He tapped into it. He understood everything, with the exception maybe of Parah Aduma. But our job is to try to work with the foundation that has already been put in place and be very careful. And that's sort of the point that we're going to talk about. Be very careful how we choose to create our own, you know, novelties, and how we choose to build on top of the foundation of the world. Let's finish up the piece. Let's keep going. We think, and Chevra, we're all guilty of this, and even after we read this inside, you're still not going to believe it on a certain level. We think we're smarter than earlier generations. Right? We look back at people who lived, you know, so to speak, civilized lives 500 years ago, and we would find it to be, almost barbaric. It's like, it's an ancient world, right? The things that we take for granted, that we have access to, everything from, I don't know, from a hot shower to indoor plumbing to the technology that we're using right now to be able to communicate with each other. Right? So we think we're much more advanced. We're much smarter than the earlier generations. Uve'emes bevadai hadoros hakodmim bevadai hayuchachamim yoyser ma'od. V'heim gilu ikar hachachma. See, it's funny, because when we talk in Torah, we don't feel this way. When we think about ourselves compared to, you know, to Rabbi Nachman, we don't feel that we're smarter than him. Rabbi Nachman, compared to his great-grandfather Baal Shem Tov, he doesn't think he's smarter than him. He doesn't think that he's better than him, holier than him, right? We look at ourselves compared, you hear Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal speak about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, he would have said, I'm a nobody. And we look at Rav Soloveitchik as a gon olam, as an absolute genius. So in Torah, we recognize a certain Yiridas Hadoros. I don't know how to learn like my great-great-grandfather used to know how to learn. I don't know how to serve Hashem with the same commitment that, you know, that people even a generation ago maybe had in terms of a connection, right? So when it comes to spirituality, we do feel, perhaps rightfully so, inferior to the earlier generations. But in terms of science and medicine and technology, we think we're much more smart. We're much more advanced. We're much wiser. But you have to understand, here's the point. They laid the foundation. And that's the hardest part. Our job is just to put the finishing touches on top. Laying the foundation, being the Avram, the Echad Haya Avram, as the Navi refers to him, a one-of-a-kind Jew. Most people can't do that. Not everyone can be one of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's an exclusive club that can't be added to. They laid the foundation upon which we're building. Now, we have to build upon it with responsibility and with a sense of context and a sense of humility. But we have to understand that for us to start laying our own foundations could be disastrous. And that was Rabbi Nachman's teaching. That was his point. In Breslov, he saw buildings collapsing and he said, we have to be very careful. Rabbi Nachman himself described his way as being a very ancient way and also a very new way. That's a very delicate balance, to be old and new at the same time, to be constantly progressing and advancing, but to do it in a way that's deeply rooted in tradition is a very delicate thing. So therefore, how should we look at the earlier generations? Ach me'acher shehem hechinu hakol, al kein boim hadoros hachronom al chachmos yoser. They prepared everything. Hechinu. They prepared everything. And now we, building off of them, seem to have these greater breakthroughs, as if we're the ones who are more advanced. Ki hadoros hachronom heim bo el amuchan. But essentially, we've come to receive something which is already prepared for us. They set it up for us. We had the easy job of just, you know, pushing it over the edge. Ki kvar muchan achachma me'adoros hakodmim shegilu ikar achachma. They were the ones who revealed the essential principles of all knowledge, of all wisdom. Val kein dor ha'achron moisif ma'at v'nischakem yoiser. So therefore, from an exponential standpoint, we add a little bit and it looks radically different. It looks like we took it to the next level completely. Right? But it's only, we're just compounding the profits, the returns, so to speak, on their original investments. Ukamosha Metzino Bedivir Aboseno Zechonim Levracha, as the Gemara tells us in several places. Gemara uses expression, Ilav didala is chaspa. Had I not picked up this pottery shard, lo ashkachis marganisa tusa. It's a beautiful line. Lo ashkachis, I would not have found a marganisa. What's a marganisa? This pearl. I would not have found this pearl tusa beneath it. Had I not lifted up the cover, I never would have found the precious gem inside. Obviously, the precious gem is worth more. Right? But it's Chazal's way of acknowledging. But had someone not, you know, dug on the surface, had someone not put down that foundation, you only see the fancy building on top. But you don't understand how the architects, the contractors, the builders had to precisely lay that foundation. Otherwise, all of the fancy, you know, layers on top of this big skyscraper, they're all utterly worthless without a proper foundation. So Chazal used an expression, had the earlier one, so to speak, not peeled back the surface, we never would have found the diamond beneath. Valkein afal pi, shakodim lo pal klal. So even though you'll say, ha-ha, we have the diamond. We're the most advanced. Look what we've achieved. Ki ha'ikar hu ha-marganisa. Look what we have, right? We've got the cure. Afal pi chen, harishon ikar. We have to acknowledge that on a certain level, those who came before us are primary, because they dug the foundation. They lifted up the pottery shard, revealing the diamond beneath. It was their digging, it was their effort, it was their foundation that made it so easy for us to come to the purpose of the wisdom. But never forgetting for a second who got us here. Okay? Concludes Rabbi Nachman. He ends the piece. And therefore there are things that can't be revealed. There are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to block us from discovering just to keep our humility more or less in check. Because we would pervert it, we would use it in a way that's not authentic, that's not true. Because there's a way that things need to unfold in the world. And the Doros Achronim, again, our generation, we need to understand our place within all of it. Okay, and therefore it's usher to reveal certain things. He goes on to give an example of how we take certain things and misuse it. He gives the example of Arla, how the Torah says the first 3 years of a tree it's off limits, and how the Zohar says that because it's off limits, there's a temptation to use it in a way of Avodah Zarah. Okay, for the sake of time, since we started a little late, and I want to be sensitive to the time, I'm gonna skip the last couple of words, not read them inside. But I want to just develop for a few more minutes this idea that Rabbi Nachman is introducing us to. Because we have to understand, and we're mamish living it both in terms of world history, and we're happy to be living it in terms of the Parsha. Because we just finished reading the Torah, and now we're starting again. We're connecting the end of the Torah back to the beginning. However, how do we view ourselves? We're learning Parshas Bereishis. This Shabbos we're going to hear the Kriyas HaTorah of Bereishis. Chazal explained to us that Bereishis can be subdivided into the word Bara Shis, which means to create a foundation, the Evan Shisia that Rabbi Nachman is describing here, the foundation stone. Bereishis is sort of the foundation of it all. Right? Rashi even asked the question, what do you need Bereishis for? Let's just jump ahead to Torah and Mitzvos. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Let's talk about the birth of Klal Yisrael. Whoa, foundation. Bereishis Bara Lukim. We need a proper foundation. So, Chevra, how do we view ourselves? And it's not an easy question to answer. Are we the greatest of all time? Are we the lowest of all time? We're the closest to Mashiach. We're the farthest from Har Sinai. How do we view ourselves? And how do we do it in a way that's both that we're driven, that we're motivated, that we're trying to continue to add on to the accomplishments of the earlier generations in a healthy and proper way? And at the same time, to not lose ourselves, to think that we're the founding fathers. Right, to think that we're the ones who created everything. So let's start with a quote from Rav Yeshaya of Trani. Rav Yeshaya de Trani, the Rid, in the Shailus and Chuvas HaRid, in Simen Samach Beis. He lived in the late 1100s, early part of the 1200s, 13th century, and he says an interesting thing. And he's talking about the right for a later opinion to overrule an earlier opinion. Okay? Again, it's timely also in terms of what's happening in American politics right now, but that's not our concern right now. Can a later authority reassess the law? Can I possibly know better? Rav Moshe Feinstein writes this all the time in his Tshuvos. Could I possibly know better? I, Rav Moshe Feinstein, who passed away in the 1980s, could I possibly argue on a Rambam? On a Rashba? On a Rishon, who I hold with the greatest of reverence? And the answer is, maybe. And here's how. Says the Rid, Af b'makom shenir alisha ani omer yafe. Even when it looks like I'm saying something that's true, I'll call echad midivrei rabbeinu harishonim zal. And I'm even taking a position that may oppose those who came before me. And now we're talking about someone who was a rishon, all the more so someone living in the 21st century. But you have to understand how I'm able to do it. Chalila, to think that I'm not aware of the weightiness of what I'm doing. He says, I will use one of the mashalim of the philosophers. Now, this statement was made famous by Sir Isaac Newton several hundred years later, but it's dated around this time period. Perhaps the Rid was living right around the time that this statement was first, you'll recognize the statement when I say it in a second, was first created. he says a mashal of the philosophers, but again, the earlier sources of this mashal being used by philosophers was really in that 12th century. And here's what the philosophers said. Shamati mechachmei ha-philosophim. I heard from the philosophers. Sha'alu le-gadol shebehem. Va'amru lo. Halo anachnu modim sha-harishonim chachmu ve-eskilu yosri menu. In analyzing their place and reckoning the Rebbeim on their teachers, on the earlier philosophers, right? And when challenged to understand, how do they do that? But we're willing to admit, right? So how could I, on the one hand, admit that they were wiser than me, and at the same time have the audacity to challenge their opinion, to challenge their way of thinking? So one of the philosophers responded, and again, the Rishonim picked up on this line, and it's used, you see, a lot in halachic reasoning, and it's used a lot also in machshava, as we'll see. Hashivam, and he responded, they responded as follows. Amar lehem, mi tzofa lemarachok, hananas o ha'anak. Who is able to see, who's able to be tzofa, who's able to see farther? The nanas, the dwarf, o ha'anak, or the giant? The midget or the giant? Who's able to see farther? Have omer ha'anak, obviously the one who's taller. She'enav omdos b'makum gavoa yosir min hananas. Because of his height, he's able to see farther off into the distance. However, im tarkiv, here's the famous line, im tarkiv ananas al tzavarei ha'anak, if you stand a dwarf on the shoulders of giants, if you put a small person on the shoulders of someone who's very tall, mitzofer yosir lemarachok, who's able to see farther into the distance? At that point, the small person is able to see farther because he's riding on the shoulders of giants. So explains Rav Yishai of Trani, in the name of the philosophers, writes the Shailos and Tshuvos Harid, Simen Samach Beis. We have the ability to sometimes see farther with the humility to know that we are dwarfs standing on the shoulders of giants. We are anachnu nanasim rechovim al tzavarei anakim. We are midgets standing on the shoulders of giants. And that gives us permission to what? That gives us permission to take our place. So we have to understand, we're not the foundation of the world. We can't think of ourselves as recreating reality. It's a lot has been written. It's all been done. Again, go back to Koheles, which we heard over the course of Sukkos. Koheles says, everything that was, everything that is already was. So you'll say, what does that mean? That means if we keep digging, eventually we'll dig up, an iPhone from the 12th century. So again, it doesn't mean it actually was. But the foundations upon which all technology, all science, all development is built was already there. And therefore, we have to see ourselves as, so to speak, riding on the shoulders of giants. So in a certain sense, we are at the top. We are the top of the building. And because of that, in a certain sense, we have the farthest grasp, the farthest reach, the farthest view. At the same time, in an ironic way, I would say we could also see ourselves as the bottom of the building. Why would I say we're the bottom of the building? Because again, if you view history in a linear fashion from top to bottom, as unfolding from descending the descent of the generation, so to speak, well, that means if we're the last generation, I guess that means we're the bottom of the pile. The Beis Aharon of Karlin uses such a beautiful mashal to try to explain how are we ever going to reach Hashem. And again, it's also in Yana Dioma, because in these parshios, we find people trying to, build towers to fight against God. How do we, small human beings, reach out to Hashem? How can we ever reach towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he quotes from Rav Shlomo of Karlin. A mashal shayetzarech lemelech echad likach eza davar mimakum gavoa mod. Imagine a king who needs to what? To retrieve something from a very high shelf. So you'll say, okay, so that's the mashal of the midget riding on the shoulders of giants. No, it's different. Listen carefully. He didn't have enough ladders to reach it. So what did the king do? Says Rav Aaron of Karlin, Parshas Netzavim, he stood people, he made a human pyramid, a human ladder. He stood people on each other's shoulders. Until the top person on his tippy toes is able to reach and retrieve the thing off the high shelf. Chaver, who are we? Are we the guy on top? You could say that. You could say we're that again, that dwarf on the shoulders of giants that's grabbing that item off the top shelf. It could be. But you know who else we could see ourselves as? We're the bottom. We're the guy who's literally on the bottom of the pile. That's a very important job, to be the guy at the bottom of the pile. If we see ourselves as the end of time, the generation right before Mashiach's arrival, we're the bottom of the pile. So on the one hand, we're the most trampled. We're the most beaten. We're the most bruised. 2,000 years of exile. It's all true. But we play a very important role in holding up the whole thing. Listen to what he says. Hine ein be'efshari lomar. It would be improper to say that the guy at the bottom of the pile is not worth recognizing. Maybe he's the most important person to recognize. If the guy in the bottom of the pile stops paying attention and he slips, the whole thing comes crashing down. You know, like when they do at weddings sometimes, like you put someone on someone's shoulders, and you know when they get really crazy and then they put like two people on the shoulders? That always scares the heck out of me. I always feel like the guy on top is going to break his back. And they're like wobbling, you know? It's like a couple of people. So here we are, Jews in the ikvus of the Mashiach, as we call ourselves, the heel of world history, the bottom of the pile, but we're holding up the whole structure. That's so critical. Our role is so critical. Kein hu adavar mamish b'kedushas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki be'emes ein be'efshari lahasig chayis habari Baruch Hu, bilti yam yeshishim ribo Yisrael. If you want to reach Hashem, then we need to make a ladder out of every single Jew. Every Jew has to have their place. It's true. On a certain level, you could say the tzaddikim are the foundation, like Rabbi Nachman was sort of alluding to. And we're just on top putting the last piece in place. That's one way to understand it. And it's true. But you could also understand that the tzaddikim are the ones who are going to be the first ones to fulfill the king's wishes at the top of the pile. And we're just some lowly schlepper trying to, you know, like a gruff person trying just to lend our physical strength to hold up the pile. But that's critical. If we don't do our part, the whole thing collapses. Explains Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter, one of the leading teachers of Breslov in the world today. We learned his Svarim in the past. Amazing tzaddik. He writes in his Sefer Leket Amarim, In Yano Shel Ikvus of the Mashiach Ahu. You know what the Ikvus of the Mashiach is? We call ourselves the footsteps of Mashiach. The heel. The heel is the bottom of the body. It's the most trampled. It's hard skin. Shehu ha'ikvus v'haraglayin shel kol ha'doros. We are the feet of the entire history. So, Chaver, if I were to ask you what's the most important part of your body, you would say your brain, you would say your heart, you would say your vital organs. Would you say that the bottom of your foot is the most important part of your body? But in a certain sense, it is. Because the foot, the legs, they hold up the head. They hold up the heart. Gamas harosh, gamas halev. Shehin bavade evarim chashuvim yoser miraglayim. You would say, independently, the heart, the mind is more important, is more valuable. My head is more important. My eyesight, my eyes are more precious to me than my feet. But they need the feet. And so too the tzaddikim of the earlier generations, in a certain sense, yes, they're the most vital organs of Klal Yisrael. But we have to understand the feet are so important. So again, I know I sound like I'm contradicting myself. Are we the feet? Are we the foundation? Or we're just that little guy on top? And the answer is it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both. One time, the Rebbe of Zidichov had a meeting with the Brisker Rav. He had an encounter with the Brisker Rav. And he said over this idea, he didn't quote obviously Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter, but he was talking about this idea. How the ikus of the Mashiach, that the Jews of our time, we're like we're like the heel, and the heel holds up the whole body. And he said to the Brisker Rav, think about that. The Brisker Rav, who had unbelievable reverence for his own father and his own mentors and his own Rebbeim and earlier generations. But the Rebbe of Zidichov, in some encounter with the Brisker Rav, said to him, we're the foot, and the foot holds up the whole body. And the Brisker Rav liked the idea so much that he literally jumped out of his chair. He jumped up from his chair. The Rebbe of Zidichov said that, and he kept saying this over. Wow, it's unbelievable. We're the bottom of the pile, but we're holding up the whole pile. That's an unbelievable thing. The Skolya Rebbe says, and it's quoted by Rav Brazil, Rav Shmuel Brazil, who's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, used to be a Rav in Far Rockaway, in Shar Yashuv. Now he's Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. He wrote a sefer called Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. So Rosh Shmuel Brazil quotes a medrash. And again, it's exactly what we're doing right now. As we finish the Torah, and we start again with Parshas Bereishis. Connecting the end of the Torah back to the beginning of the Torah. Connecting the end of time back to the beginning of time. We're the last generation of exile. We're the first generation of redemption. We're trying to be in line with the Mesorah. We're trying to forge our own path. The Medrash says an amazing thing. Adam HaRishon, when he was buried in Maras HaMachpelah, Adam HaRishon was so tall that the only way to get him into Maras HaMachpelah, listen to this Medrash, was to fold him in half. The Medrash says, Kishechnisu Adam HaRishon al Maras HaMachpelah, Adam HaRishon was so tall that they had to fold him in half, and that's why it's called Maras HaMachpelah, the double cave. Because Adam HaRishon was doubled over in Maras HaMachpelah. All right, interesting Medrash. The Scholier Rebbe said, because of a Scholier Rebbe, what happens when you fold someone in half? What happens? Why is Adam HaRishon folded in half? Shebamatzav kazeh hine akevav shel Adam HaRishon hayu noigim berosho. When you fold someone in half, their heels, their feet touch their head. Klomar shafilu dor ikvus of the Meshicha, that even the lowest, the final generation, if they can just do their part, they'll be as important as the head. See, what Rabbi Nachman is saying is that don't think, and that's why Hashem sometimes has to block us from making discoveries, because God forbid we lose context. We forget that we're part of, again, that we are those dwarfs on the shoulders of giants. We start to reject the earlier generations. One of the challenges of the Ikvus of the Mashiach that we mentioned yesterday is children rebelling against their parents. Is Zakenim being scorned by youngsters? Elders being rejected by young people? Right, taking advantage of the elderly. That's one of the challenges of a modern society. But the goal is to always make sure that the feet are touching the head. The goal is to make sure that when you get to the last couple of words of the Torah, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, you go back to Bereishis Bara Elokim. And that's why Adam HaRishon, who's the all-encompassing man, all-encompassing person, was buried in Maras HaMachpelah in such a way to represent this delicate balance of feet touching the head, of the end of time reaching back towards the beginning of time. Rabbi Nachman, that's what he's saying. There's a spiritual danger of building if you don't know your foundations. If your foundation's not solid, then God forbid the whole thing could collapse. Everything could fall apart. Understanding the foundation allows a person to add on to it. I want to just conclude with two final sources. One is a Shemi Shmuel in Parshas Netzavim, and one is a comment from the Chafetz Chaim. Chevra, one of the hardest things for us to do is tshuva, even though it's one of the easiest things. Again, it's one of these paradoxical things which should be so easy, but it's so hard. Right? It should be so easy for us to know our place in history, and yet sometimes we lose sight of it, and we become Bali Gaiva. When it comes to tshuva, one of the challenges of tshuva is that when you read the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, you get this very heavy impression that tshuva has to be perfect. Tshuva shlema. That the Odeya ta'alumos, that the one who knows everything, is able to look into my heart and is able to see that I'm truly changed. That's a hard thing to do. That's a very high level to reach. It's not easy. Bechevra, the Shemi Shmuel, tells us an amazing thing. 2 days in a row, we got the Shemi Shmuel. Who's his grandfather? The Kutzker. Kutzker Rebbe. Who's his father? The Avnei Nezer. The Shemi Shmuel says, you have to realize that, again, you're not living on your own. You're not living in a vacuum. You're part of a beautiful Mesorah. You're part of a beautiful history. Connect yourself to the foundation of those who came before you. Chava, we are that dwarf on the shoulder of giants who just needs to see a drop farther. We're the lowest guy in the pile in the mushel of the Beis Aaron of Karlin, but we're also the guy on top who's just reaching that final stretch to achieve the Ratzon of the King. Says the Shemi Shmuel, I'm going to skip most of it for the sake of time, but let's just pick up where it's underlined. Uvechein al yipo lev ha'adam alav. Don't be depressed. Don't be despondent. Ba'aricho es ma'amake libo. When you delve into the depths of your heart and you say, Eino yachol lasos tshuva karoi. I don't know how to do tshuva. I can't do tshuva. What can I add? My little bit? The answer is yes. Add your little bit. Mikol makom al yimna milaso zema'at. Don't hesitate to do that little bit. Ki kol pruta upruta mishlemes l'cheshbon. Because as the Gemara says in Sota, every penny adds up to a big amount. Start investing when you're young. Right? Put a couple of bucks in a mutual fund and just let it sit for decades. And you'll see it'll actually, a couple of dollars will grow into something substantial. You have to give it time. Understand it as being part of a process. And therefore, when we add our little bit of tshuva, yes, we could collectively, over the course of time, achieve what's called tshuva shleima. V'chein nami yesh lomar, it continues where it's underlined. We could say this as individuals for our personal redemption, and we could say it bichlalus, we could say it collectively. Sha'tshuva mikol Yisrael mikol yimei ha'golus mitstarfos l'tshuva achas shleima. Building on top of that foundation. If you think you're starting from scratch, of course it's going to collapse. But if you understand that you're building on the earlier generations, then you should realize that it's very much within reach. Va'al kein muvan efshrus ha'tshuva afilu bedaros hanamuchim ulavavos atumim kamono hayom. Therefore, yes, tshuva is possible, even in these final generations, where we're not as smart, and we're not as spiritually connected, and our hearts are hardened to the point that it's hard to absorb Torah. Ki bedur hayoser achron einenu chaser rak ma'at lahashlim. Because in our final generation, we only need to add a little bit. We only need to do a little bit more. We only need to put that final part on the building. But again, it's only as strong as I know my foundation is. Last but not least, the Heilige Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Machane Yisrael. Who do you think he wrote it for? He wrote it for soldiers, for Jewish soldiers on the battlefield. Some halacha, some words of chizuk. And he writes in the Shar HaAchron, he writes an amazing thing. And again, you'll see the reference from earlier. Val Yomer HaAdam, the Chafetz Chaim says in our final source today, don't say, Eich Yachol Lihiyos Shiavo Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Yameinu. How are we possibly going to bring Mashiach? We just seem to be worse and worse than our ancestors. If they couldn't do it, then we certainly can't do it. Halo ein biyadeinu ma'isim tovim karaoi. We don't know how to serve Hashem properly. Dezeh eino. Diadua shakadosh baruch hu chafetz legaleinu eino mabit kol kach b'inyaneinu. First and foremost, you should know that when Hashem decides the time to redeem the Jewish people has come, it doesn't matter what our ma'isim are. Hashem is willing to overlook our behavior, the Medrash says. Amru Yisrael, as the Medrash says, heichanu negalin. How are we going to be redeemed? We don't have the good behavior. Think about it. In Mitzrayim, we were on the 49th level of Tumah. We also didn't have good behavior there. And Hashem decided it was time. Amar Leah, Hashem says back to us, when Hashem decides, right, that the time has come, he doesn't pay attention to the details. Okay, so that sounds like a dangerous path. Do whatever you want, and when God decides it's time for Mashiach, it'll come. Okay. V'gam al yisya yishadim chas v'shalom min agula mitam, pen lo higia haketz. You might say, well, another reason not to be excited about redemption is the time hasn't arrived yet, says the Chafetz Chaim. Dezeino, that's also not true. Because the Gemara tells us on the Pasuk, Ani Hashem, I am God, Be'ita achishena, Zachu, if we're worthy, achishena, I will speed it up. Lo Zachu, if we're not worthy, Be'ita, it'll come in its time. So, there are many times when Mashiach can come. Don't psych yourself out that it's not the right time. But now, Chaver, the last point, and this is the one that's most relevant to us. Va'al yihyeh lepela be'enei ha'adam lomar. Don't say to yourself, Eich ata nucho lomar. How could we possibly say? How could we possibly imagine? Shezachu mashalo zachu doras ha'koidmim. How are we going to achieve what earlier generations didn't achieve? Dezeh eino kushya. Says the holy Chafetz Chaim, the Kohen Gadol of Klal Yisrael. It's not a question. De'emes sha'anachnu ketanim harbe me'avosinu. Yes, like we started. We have to know that we're much smaller than the earlier generations. We're not smarter than them. We're not more advanced than them. Everything that we figured out so easily, it's only because they got things rolling. They did the hard work. They did the heavy lifting. We're much smaller than our avos. We have to see ourselves as such, both in terms of, again, the natural world and in terms of the spiritual world. Aval yadua she'akadosh baruch hu mitzarif l'chol echad z'chuso v'z'chus avoseinu. But we have to remember that we're not operating on our own. Every person is living off of the schus avos. How many times in our life do we beg Hashem in our tefillos? Save me in the schus of the bris bein abasarim. Save me in the schus of akedas yitzchak. What have to do with anything? The answer is it's still working for us now. The merits of the tzaddikim of old are still working for us now. Aneinu Hashem in the merit of so and so who lived long ago. Yeah. Elukod Rebbe Meir Aneni, the God of Rebbe Meir should answer me. Rebbe Meir Balanes, yeah, also works. Why? Because Anachnu Kananas Haroche Valgabe Haanach. Because again, we're like the dwarf riding on the shoulders of a giant. Shuroa mabit yoser lemerachok. So therefore we have to believe that we can finish building the building in a healthy and strong and vibrant and redeemed way. Because the salvation of Hashem can come about in a second. Because we long for your redemption and your salvation all day, every day. So Chevra, I hope this idea, again, these are really, really important yesodas, the last 2 days. Two strange pieces in Sichos Aran, but mamish, I think, fundamental attitudes in how a Jew has to live his life, to understand his place, to be able to build in a healthy way, to grow in a healthy way, to not try to, God forbid, reject your parents or reject your rebbeim, reject the earlier generations, to be able to do so with great reverence for them, and at the same time, to know that Hashem has positioned you in a unique time in history, to do something great. So I bless us that we should be zochet to do it in a humble and healthy way. You can unmute and say amen.